This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
We've got a couple of guests who've literally just walked into the studio. They haven't even yet sort of settled in or got the microphones attached
to
their voices.
Don't hit me on that microphone either, Paul.
Oh, yeah, careful with that. So, there is a show on in Melbourne at the moment at Theatre Works in St Kilda called Bin Laden. Now, it's actually struck a bit of controversy, so we thought it'd be really interesting to get a couple of people in to talk to us about
the
controversy and the show.
Why the controversy first?
So, it's Naive Theatre is the group, Sam Redway and Terrell Jones. Good morning to you both.
Morning. Good morning.
How are you?
It's Naive Theatre, isn't it?
Yes.
Not Naive.
No. Naive Theatre, that's right. Yeah.
Naive.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Yeah, and then, yeah, you said Naive, I think, yeah.
And the show is called Bin Laden, the one-man show, specifically.
Yes. Oh, I apologise. Now, how about that heavy accent of yours? Where's that from?
That's the UK. It's a kind of a general UK. I don't really have a specific voice.
I like that, general UK accent.
Well, they say Gen Am if you're kind of general American. It's a classic thing, but there isn't really a general UK, but I'm coining it now.
Right, so Gen Arc.
Yeah. Gen Arc.
Gen Arc. Cool. So tell us about the show very quickly.
Yeah, so basically it's a one-man show. In which audiences are presented with Osama bin Laden's life story and told by me, as if it's my life story. But for listeners at home, I'm white. I probably sound relatively white. and that's the point.
He is white, I can vouch for that.
Yep. And so he tells his life story up until 9/11. And generally, if you're telling your own life story, you agree with most of your decisions, so that's quite a confronting thing. But we've also framed it as Six Easy Steps for Changing the World. It's a book launch for a book that we've invented called The Flight for Freedom, which is how he's travelling the world now, telling people how to stand up and change the world for the better.
And he's trying to persuade, you're giving the audience a sort of a broadly Western audience the experience of following along with this man's story, and we de-other bin Laden as much as possible. You know,
de-other, what does that mean?
Well, firstly, he's white. He's in really Western clothes, like kind of, you know, standard Western man uniform, like white shirt, black trousers. He also uses Western cultural references and tropes like Hollywood hero narratives to tell his story in a way which feels really familiar and easy for us to digest. It does two things. One, it shows that with a different context, you can have a very, very different opinion of a certain story, and also explores how rhetoric and all of those hero narratives can be very easily used to manipulate people. It's certainly a confronting one. It's been exciting.
It sounds pretty straightforward. What you are doing is you're taking somebody out of context, putting them into a new context to tell their story, and their experience, their story, has some cultural issues, and therefore that's where you get the sort of juxtaposition and the tension, I presume. Why is this controversial? Why has this been provocative?
I guess it's provocative because generally in the West, people don't want to legitimize stories that threaten them. And we have... it's been now 8 years since the guy was killed. We're still in the position where we have him as the demon figure. He's the face in the clouds, and to present one of the most reviled characters in modern history as a hero is always going to be quite a confronting thing for people. People have often said, well, why don't you do this about Hitler? I mean, people have done it about Hitler, but you know, this is a different thing. This is a guy who didn't get state legitimacy. It's so there's a very different vibe going on.
And we should say that we're not doing it because that's what we believe about Osama bin Laden. We're doing it because we want to start a conversation and provoke people to think about how perspective and context really influences the way we think about foreign policy. We believe that only by understanding different ideologies can we ever hope to move forward on those situations, understanding the impact of our foreign policy decisions, but also understanding the impact of our of things that happen more domestically. One of the things that bin Laden really wanted to achieve was a kind of polarization within Western society. So, you know, the massive increase in Islamophobia after 9/11 played right into his hands, as you know, creating so many recruits. And now, you know, obviously that is that's something that's very relevant today here in Australia and New Zealand, in relation to recent events. So we've been having a lot of really interesting conversations about that and about our responsibility as citizens to understand these things and also to talk about them.
And we should also say that the show kind of functions in a play of two halves. There's the first half is me on stage telling the story, and then as the story comes to its end, we invite audiences to come and actually have a debate with us. It's an actual provocation to an actual debate.
Okay. Wow.
So, and we stand by that. So we if you pardon the pun, we didn't want to let the bomb off and run away. We want to stand by it and have that conversation because we felt it was kind of cowardly, but also in the early days of the show when we started doing it and we hadn't really worked out quite what the show was, we were just in the bar for hours and hours and hours to like 3 o'clock in the morning every night because people wanted to debate with us. And so we went, okay, well, let's formalize it, let's make it a thing. And since 2013 we've invited every single audience member to come and join us for a debate in the theater. So they grab a drink, they come back in, and they get their teeth stuck into us, and we put ourselves in that firing line.
You mean you?
Us.
Oh,
you
the
guys
poo.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, for the debate at least, I get to hide behind the lighting desk while he does the show.
So, what has people's responses or questions changed over time? You've been doing this for a long time. I mean, certainly the last. Okay, let's look at the last week. What do you expect? I think today and tomorrow are the last shows in Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you expect? Do you expect a change in response from people?
Oh, what over the next few days, as opposed to the rest of the week?
Yeah. Certainly since the events of last week in New Zealand.
Yeah, so there's been a real change since the events of last week, certainly. People have been more interested in talking about race and particularly about Islamophobia in this country. And we have been having a lot of conversations, which I think are very difficult for a lot of people, about language. One of the things certainly that's really struck us since coming here from the UK, where we have our own difficulties in regard to racial tensions, but one of the things which is was very surprising is that there's a lot of casual language which is seen as acceptable here, which really is not in the UK. So
we've been having. Give us an example.
So a really good example would be. So when I first arrived in Adelaide, we were for the Adelaide Fringe. I had a conversation in a cafe, and they were talking about the different populations that have come to Australia, talking very positively about those populations. And then they said, of course we had the Asian, and someone chimed in, invasion. Yeah, the Asian invasion, of course. And I was quite shocked. And they were like, no. That's just our sense of humour. That's the way we talk about these things. It's just that's just banter. It's not offensive. No one finds it offensive.
Well, that's actually not correct.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Yeah. And so I've discovered. But
sorry, Tyrrell, that's just not correct.
I totally. But this was their defence. This was their defence that I'm representing here. And I went back into that cafe a little bit later, and I said, well, how do you feel about that phrase, the Asian invasion, since the manifesto that was published and the word invaders being used in that manifesto? We've been having a lot of conversations around that, and I have to say, I know you say that's not correct, but we have had lots of conversations with people, even in the arts, in very, very liberal contexts, where people have been explaining to us why certain phrases are okay or are acceptable, and that conversation is in a different place here. to where it is in the UK. I think we've had those arguments, and broadly speaking, like those subtleties of language are broadly condemned and broadly being moved away from. Mm. But even in liberal communities, mm. we're just having that conversation now, and it feels really, really tense.
And it's you know, a lot of the language in Australia is very different to the UK. Has a much shorter history and has an historical context, and that language, I say it was never okay, but it was regarded as okay. It was in common knowledge. Everyone knew, you know, everyone used it, and even in a lot of cases, some of the people who were impacted by that language used it.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, you know, it changes. It changes, and you know, words that were in common use when I was a child are not regarded as, you know, acceptable anymore.
Yeah.
And
I would maintain, Macca, that language reflects our values.
It does.
And our culture. And
often the values change quicker than the language.
That's correct. And language that we could use 10 years ago is no longer, sometimes no longer acceptable. Yeah. So Paul, one of our panellists, wants to know, have you found the same sort of casual language used here in Melbourne as you did in Adelaide?
No. Not so far.
That's because we're smarter.
I don't want to generalise about Adelaide either. There's a huge mix, and a lot of those things are being challenged, even in the conversations that we're having after the show. People are picking up on each other and saying, sorry, you can't say that. But that was certainly one of the... That's certainly one of the shifts that we found in Adelaide, and all of a sudden, where conversations where those kind of phrases were being used maybe a bit more in post-show discussions, suddenly they were being challenged after Christchurch, which I think is a really positive thing.
I have a question for you, Sam. Mm. Sam, what does it feel like to play this Bin Laden role?
It's interesting because I'm not really playing a role in this sense. I'm telling a story. And instead of, so don't get in your imagination that, you know, I'm playing,
pretending to be,
I'm putting
on
an accent and I'm trying to do that. The point is, as Tyrrell said, the kind of the de-othering, and so I just go, well, this is a story that I'm telling, and I have to believe my story, and I have to try and kind of sympathise with that story every night. But in the nature of the story, there are going to be places where that's impossible. And I can't sympathise with it. Sometimes I can get very close to it, but I'm kind of going through the same experience as the audience, because the audience in any piece of theatre are asked to empathise or sympathise with different people. And in this, they just have one person to try and empathise and sympathise with, and we manipulate that deliberately to try and make that happen. But I also have to do that. So my sympathetic and empathetic muscles are being stretched and exercised every night. And depending on the day, depending on the reactions I'm getting from the audience, because it's all very direct address and looking down the eyes of everyone, sometimes it's different. You know, I can be seeing people who are completely against me from the off, and that's going to make me feel very different about it. Sometimes people are with me and going, I'm with this guy. Mm. And then that makes me feel better about it. I can believe more of what I'm saying. You know, it's quite dangerous for me as well.
So you don't end up in this sort of tension spot, you know. I'm thinking of that horrible word that I don't want to use, but that sort of schizophrenic feeling of who's me, who's the character, what impact is having on me.
Well, there was a really I'm going to put in inverted commas, scientific report released recently, where they suggested that the longer actors spend in character, the less they know about themselves.
Huh.
Apparently, there is a psychological effect going on with actors.
Could have been talking about politicians.
Could have been politicians. But
they're
always
in character, aren't they?
Talk to us about politics.
We're getting the wind up. We are getting the wind up. We're almost out of time. Just before you do go, if people want to see the show, tell
us about...
Still
tickets available?
There's still tickets available,
It's where and when?
So it's Theatre Works. tonight and tomorrow night, 7:30 tonight and 5 p.m. tomorrow on Sunday, down in St Kilda. It's called Bin Laden, the one-man show. And if you're not around on those 2 days but happen to be in Canberra next week, we're playing at the Theatre Centre in Canberra and the Seymour Centre in Sydney the week after that, first week of April. So we're here in Australia for a while.
Fantastic.
Sam Ridway and Tyrrell Jones from Naive Theatre, thank you for coming in this morning. It's been great to hear your reflections on what it sounds like a really interesting show.
Thank you very much.
Well done. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.